Hello and welcome to another episode of the Gradient Podcast. And for all those who watched episode 16, you will know that episode 17 is going to be the Chauvin trial part 2. When we recorded episode 16, which gave our initial thoughts about the actual trial itself, it was before the verdict, and here we are a week later with the verdict finally being made. So a lot to talk about, a lot to discuss, but per usual, I'm Jaden.
I'm Armand.
And I'm Evan.
And at the start of this episode, let's just start with the verdict. Chauvin was found guilty of second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter. And I just want to say that I think this is a big... It was a big test. It was really just a landmark moment for America. And I think America passed the test where, for what we haven't seen in a long, long time, is that a police officer was held accountable for the murder of George Floyd, which I think is a really big moment going forward. It's in history. It's going to be talked about for years and years to come about how big of a moment this is. And I think this puts us in the right direction to start getting that accountability, but also getting justice for the people who were wrongfully killed by the hands of police brutality.
Before we get into our opinions, I want to fact check Jaden real quick. Second-degree murder is felony murder, which is unintentional murder whilst committing a felony. So if you said unintentional murder, I just want to expand on it a little bit. I did very thorough research. I was interested in following the case, right? First and foremost, I want to express that I am a firm believer in due process. I don't care what you've done. You have the right to a fair trial, and whatever the verdict is, and I'm very happy for this verdict because, again, police need to be held accountable for their actions. This is a little bit. It is this is the probably the most heavily observed trial since OJ, and the most controversial trial since Rodney King back in LA, I think like 20-ish years ago, right? My first thought or discussion point I want to bring the conversation to is, following the verdict of George Floyd's conviction, the jurors weren't anonymous anymore. That being said, do you believe that they were, I guess, inherently influenced to vote or to, vote in favor of what the mass public wanted in order to just, I guess, like the mob mentality of it, sort of, where they were influenced by that to vote in favor of the way they voted?
I don't think that mob mentality was going to be a big factor here, because ultimately it did come down to, you know, if it was solely based on mob mentality, I think that, you know, there would be no need for the, I want to say, thorough trial process that we had. But, you know, if we look at this from the perspective of, you know, the prosecution, the defense, you know, the evidence that they each brought up, I thought at the end of this case that the prosecution undeniably had the stronger case. I thought that, you know, when it came to their witnesses, they were more compelling. And they even did a good job when it came to cross-examining the defense's witnesses, getting them to concede, you know, very important arguments. And I think that, you know, from an outsider perspective, and maybe this is could be similar to what a juror might think, I think it was a pretty clear decision in favor of the prosecution.
I think, by the way, the trial played out, I think at the very first couple of days of the trial, the defense pulled up a stronger argument, but slowly, as the trial progressed, the prosecution had a better handle on the witnesses, and it ultimately favored them. That being said, I do think the defense has a case for the sort of mob mentality aspect of influence, because for once, the trial was, I feel like I'm against the verdict, by the way, I'm like formulating my opinions, but I am in favor of the result of the due process. And if that's his conviction, that's rightfully what it should be. I think it was best for the trial to be held outside of Minneapolis, because that is the epicenter of mob mentality, considering it's where it happened. And I think this mob mentality is slightly apparent when the decision of the actual verdict came about in, what was it, under 10 hours, which typically isn't a large amount of time that you want for a trial this controversial. And I think you can agree with me on that.
I believe that I looked it up here that the Yeah, that the jurors in this scenario were actually partially sequestered, which means they were kind of held, away from outside
As they should be, of
influence.
course.
Yeah. So again, I think, people are always going to say, oh, mob mentality should not decide someone's fate in the court of law. But again, it came down to the evidence, and the evidence was very, very clearly in favor of the prosecution.
Definitely. Asphyxiation, lack of oxygen, truly a strong argument made by the prosecution, and truly the reason why the trial went in that favor.
Evan, you look like you want to say something.
I'm having difficulty formulating my thoughts. I mean, not nearly as closely as Armand. I didn't really follow the Chauvin trial too closely. I mean, of course, I saw the major beats, and of course, when the verdict came out, of course, that was very large news. But I didn't follow it to a great extent. Mostly because I was cynical about it. I kind of came in, or not came in, but when I was viewing it, I sort of, not necessarily expected, but I was setting myself up to be disappointed by the verdict that, as someone who wanted to see justice, I was kind of setting myself up and, and preparing myself for when, in my opinion, what a inevitable verdict would be of him, of Derek Chauvin not being convicted because of just because of the history that police officers have had when on trial. I mean, there's very few and far between have there been cases where a police officer's actions were held accountable. So I was quite cynical about the trial, about the possible verdict. So when the when wh now that the verdict has come out, that he is being convicted of the of all three charges, which was also surprising, all three charges being pressed. I mean, to say I'm glad would be strange. I mean, you're never glad to see someone, imprisoned, because it's just, I mean, it's a difficult situation. But I think justice has certainly been upheld here.
I want to progress the conversation a little bit. I was watching CNN when the trial was sort of being covered, and strictly right after the verdict, it cut to people celebrating. And I don't think a celebration was the appropriate response because, sure, the trial went in favor of the way it should have gone for the increased accountability that police officers should have for their authority, right? It never should be a celebration when someone died. The celebration should have happened when sort of police reform is necessary to stop the next George Floyd from unfortunately passing away due at the hands of police brutality. And more so than a celebration, it should be an eye-opener because even after George Floyd, these things still happen. You see, several other African Americans passed away at the hands of police brutality, and it still needs to be fixed. There's still work to be done. The verdict of the Chauvin trial is not the end all be all of now everything is set equal. No, it's in fact the very first step on a very long process.
I think that people, so here we'll start with, the celebrations, right? Undeniably, that this is only the first step in a long journey to get, the regular and consistent accountability, and also just, the what we need to prevent police brutality from happening, outright in the first place, right? This is, again, the first step in a long series of steps that we're going to have to take. But to say that, it's not, to say that people have no reason, right, and that they shouldn't be celebrating, I think kind of undermines how big of a deal that this decision is and the kind of importance that it kind of has, for what it means to be a person of color in America, right? Because we know that we still have a lot of work to do to prevent police brutality. But something that people of color have been, shied away from for, recent history has to be accountability. And to see what it takes to have a police officer be held accountable is despicable. But it definitely has to feel good if you are anyone in America who values human lives, human rights, human decency, to see that accountability has been had. And I think it's very promising for the future to say, this is something that we are not unfamiliar with anymore. We are not the nation that doesn't have accountability. We have now the precedent of police officers being held accountable. And I think that just that, to have that even as the first step, I think is very worthy of celebration.
I think more so celebration implies like the task is done. We can now relax and celebrate. I don't feel as if that's the case. I think the real celebratory event would have been if George Floyd hadn't died and the police weren't encouraged to proceed the way they did in that incident, right? I guess that's my whole mindset on the situation I don't think we should be... I feel like celebrating on this event celebrates the entirety of the situation, where they're celebrating the fact that a white police officer happened to murder a black man and then be put in jail for it.
I fundamentally disagree with that, because I don't think it's the case where, you know, people are celebrating that, you know... they're not celebrating that, okay, George Floyd died, and... How do I explain this? I think that people know that it's not over, right? But even still, like Evan said, you know, a lot of people came into this trial thinking, oh, it's just going to be another example of, you know, bad people walking away free, another example of accountability not being held, another example of justice not being served. But that's not what this moment was, right? This is a moment, one of, you know, the first and realest moments in American history where accountability was served and where justice is being held out. And I think that alone deserves a celebration. And you're right, you know, it's not over and people shouldn't celebrate too early, but even still, to have something that seemed nearly impossible for an extremely long amount of time for people of color is 100% worthy of that celebration.
I mean, personally, I kind of spoke this a little bit earlier. I touched on this earlier. I mean, feeling like excitement or enjoy, like happiness because of the results of a trial and someone being convicted, I think it feels strange, just because, like, this Chauvin murdered George Floyd in the street. He was now been convicted, and now people are celebrating. It just feels a little bit, I mean, almost, I don't want to say macabre, but it feels just off-putting to be celebrating the conviction of a trial such as this one. But that's just my thoughts.
I think a more coherent way to put, I guess, me and Evan have a little bit of a similar line of reasoning. I think it should be an expectation less than a celebration. It should have been expected that he should have been held accountable. And we don't celebrate on expectations. We are sort of delighted by them. But do you get what I'm sort of trying to put out there?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me give it a bit of an anecdote, right? So following the trial, which happened, I think it was like 1 or 2 in the afternoon, right? It was a little bit later. I remember it was at work. That night, I went to the comment section of the Little Baby music video for what was the Bigger Picture. Mm-hmm. You're aware of the song, right?
Yeah.
And the whole purpose of the song and the music video was about Black activism and accountability for people's actions, right? I went to the comment section there, and it was just a whole group of solidarity, completely unlike what we've seen in I guess normal chat rooms on the internet. And it was more so talking about how this is a step in the right direction. I think that's the best way to put it.
I mean, I agree and disagree with both of you. You know, it's not normal that we celebrate someone going to jail. You're right, Evan. But I think this, you know, scenario that we've been put in is so different from anything we've ever had in the past, right? And, you know, to you, Armand, yeah, you're right. We don't celebrate expectations, but him being convicted was, I don't think it's unfair to say that him being convicted was the expectation for a lot of people going into this, right? And
I'm saying it should have been an expectation.
Yeah.
It by no means was an expectation. Mm-hmm. Based on precedent,
it couldn't have been.
The opposite.
Like if we lived in a society, if we lived in a society where, you know, police accountability was the norm, where justice being served was the norm, I think, you know, you would have to say maybe it did not warrant that much celebration. But the fact of the matter is that is sadly just not the world we get to live in. And the world we live in, I think 100% is going to justify the celebrations and just the raw, you know, excitement and joy and just rush of emotions that people are having, that what they thought wasn't going to be possible finally happened.
I do understand the obvious rejoicement of the oppressed individuals following the verdict, and very happy for them, because it's again a step in the right direction. I feel like that's the common denominator of phrase used here.
So
if we want to go back to the trial, oh sorry, go for it.
No, you can go ahead. Can go ahead. I was just going to kind of move us forward a little bit.
I was going to go back to the trial in specific, because I know Evan sort of talked about it a bit. I looked at the trial very heavily. I was very critical of all the witnesses and whatnot. And there was a Dr. Tobin, I believe that was the name, who I felt was, correct me if I say the name wrong, but he was the doctor studying the asphyxiation of the George Floyd's death, right? And following what I said in the previous episode, because the whole contention there for the defense was asphyxiation does not necessarily mean the lack of oxygen. It could have been prompted by an overdose. And that was the defense's claim. But going back to that same witness, which was after we recorded it, he touched back and talked about the autopsy, how it was specifically the lack of oxygen. And I think that was the true turning point for the favor of the prosecution, because the beginning of the trial, like objectively, the defense was doing a better job until more so towards the end.
I mean, that's something, you know, that I think you can agree with. I think at first the trial definitely looked blurry, you know, as to who was going to come out on top. But like I said before, it is my belief that as the trial went on, it just kind of became clearer and clearer that the prosecution was, you know, just a step ahead from the defense, which ultimately is, you know, what you just have to hope for. But with all that being said, I think that this is a great place to end our discussion and leave the discussion open to all of our viewers and everyone in America as to what is our next step, as to what can you do to help make sure that another scenario of police brutality doesn't happen again, and how we can continue to learn from this one example and to continue to make sure that justice is an expectation and that accountability is going to be an expectation for anyone in this country. But again, with all that being said, I'm Jaden.
I'm Evan.
I'm Armand.
This is the second time that they've done this, so he's Evan and he's Armand. So thank you so much for watching this episode.